Let us open the service with a word of prayer.
Once again, good morning, everyone. I think my mic's working now. It's great to see so many people here, and isn't it a pretty day out there? A day to give thanks. So let's bow our heads and thank the Lord for this beautiful day. Heavenly Father, we are here once again to give you thanks and to give you praise for all that you do for us. We know there are so many needs, health needs in this church, but we know that you'll be with those who are sick and put your arms around them and help them in their healing path or whatever you have in store for them. We pray for everyone who was on our prayer list, and we are so thankful for our minister who is here, and we pray for his message as he brings it to us this morning. And now I'd like to ask the congregation to look in your bulletins and turn to the middle page, and we're going to say the salvation prayer together. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Jesus, I put my trust in you and I surrender my life to you. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. True as that, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Most of you may know, or a lot of you know, that last week was my birthday. And so I ran across this little, another year older. We sang last week. But anyhow, I ran across this, so now I don't feel so bad. Birthdays are good for you. The more you have, the longer you live. And with that note, let's stand and sing our first hymn.
Things together and we'll all be together. Okay, you have no idea what the heck I'm talking about. Are there any new people here today? I don't think I saw any. Okay, any birthdays or anniversaries? Somebody's pointing Lynn. Is that Lynn? Barbara. That was last week. Oh, wait, you know what? You got to come every week to know what's going on. How about that deflated ball gate? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, we're going to have choir rehearsal this Thursday. We just got some new music, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Huh? No, I said choir rehearsal. Yeah, it's okay. Excuse me. That's not part of Parkinson's, so don't even go down that road. God, I'm on a roll this morning. Okay, now ladies' Bible study is for tomorrow, and we're going to be studying Rahab. So nothing like letting you know the last minute. Co-ed Bible study will be this Tuesday, the 27th, only because Sue and Jean are going to be out of town with the minors. So it will be just this Tuesday this time. Then we go back to our normal time. We had a great time. Debbie, where are you? Gosh, you did such a great job. It was so great. You did a wonderful job. It was funny. It was interesting. It was really super. So March 16th is Lois Raglan. Lois is going to be doing her greatest story ever told. We just cannot wait for that. It's going to be exciting, but it's going to be in March, not in February. There's no meeting for the men's dinner, or breakfast, rather, because, again, we are going to be gone at that time. Now, here's the thing. Dinner with Friends is going to be Thursday, February the 26th. It's the last Thursday of the month. I have a sign-up sheet in the back. Jim Shook is going to be doing his Antarctica trip, which we've all been looking forward to. So if you think you'd like to come to that, it's going to be 5 o'clock. Please sign up, because we're going to make a decision if we're going to be in this room or if we're going to be in the Shivana room. So it's real important that you sign up and just give us some idea, you know, how many people we need to go to do. Prayer pillows. Do you all just not have any normal people that you do a last name with or something? I mean, are you kidding me? Lois Herpeschleimer. Did I do that right? Mm-hmm. She had colon cancer not too long ago, and she's not doing very well. This is Linda Shirk's best friend that she went to nursing school with. It's her mother. So please keep her in your mind or prayer. And if you just say Lois, he will not get confused if it's Lois Raglan or Lois Herpenschleimer. The other one is for Bruce Miner. And thank you guys so much for the emails and the emails and the prayers, you know, and thank you for the prayer pillow, Linda. You know, we had the ladies' luncheon. I was telling a couple people this. So he calls, you know, while we're having the ladies' luncheon, and I really wanted to be there, but I needed to be where I was too. So he says, I got Parkinson's. And I said, so get over it. So, and that was the end of that. So he says, I can't get any sympathy from you, can I? And he said, really? Seriously? You've been with me for how long? So, okay, and the other thing, speaking of the prayer pillow, I just took a concealed weapon class with, yeah, well, that has nothing to do with his Parkinson. Yeah, we don't let him. Well, well, he said that he can't have a pistol, and he said, it's like, No, that's okay. You know, so, I'm telling, you know, you're going to be so sorry you ever told us what you have. So, but anyway, I took a concealed weapon class with Tom Shirk, and it was really, really great, and he's going to be putting on another one, so if any of you would like to go to his class, you can talk to him after church. It was really, really good. Name tags, we have a list back there that's going really well. If you want a name tag like these guys, let us know. We think they're like $18, but we're really not sure until we give the people the list. The other thing is that garage sale. You know, every year we do our garage sale, and the money goes to the Inner City Church. We think it's going to be in June, and Kathy Bound, again, has agreed to let us use her home for the garage sale, and you get a tax deductible slip for all the things that you donate, and so start going through your house and saving things, and we don't take, I know this is really gross, but we don't take, we're not going to take any clothes or anything like that. And we have a gentleman here. Every once in a while, you'll see him come in, big tall guy with gray hair. He'll come in and get a cup of coffee, because every once in a while, he'll bring three or four bags of clothes. Just one day he brought this bag of clothes and it was all underwear. And I went, okay, well, we just won't go down that road. So anyway, so that's it. You know, sometimes these things I should not say. But I have this great card from Fred Welsh. It says, thank you, congregation. I thank all of you for your prayers before, during, and after my recent lung cancer surgery. They worked miraculously. I was home the next day, and the surgeon felt that he got all of the tumor. The prayer pillow was a unique gift. What a great tradition. You even got the peaceful canoeing scene right. That was amazing, because I don't think Linda knew that he had a business in the canoeing business of taking people down the river and fishing and all this other. That was spot on. I went into surgery with an uncharacteristic calm that I have never experienced before. Sincerely, Fred Rouse. We are so happy to see you here. You're a miracle baby. Just know that. So, yeah. Okay, Miss Lois Raglan. Tom and Lois Raglan now are our new, you could start coming up, are our new mission people. So this is really exciting. It's taken us a long time to replace Dan Johnson, but we did, and it's great. So you have a message.
Yes, you do. You don't know it yet, but you do.
It's me again. If you were here last Sunday, you heard me mention that we are going to, as our first little mission project, I guess, in charge, work with the New Life in Christ Church downtown, which we support. They have a Wednesday evening family night, which they provide a meal first to some homeless in the area and then to families of the church who enjoy their meal and stay for Bible study. Well, this group, about 30 people, is struggling for food, and we're jumping in to help out there. So Betty and I have come up with about eight weeks' worth of menus, and we are asking all of you to help provide the meal or the food for these 8 weeks, and then we'll go back and recycle it again. So our first meal will be February 10th. I've made a sign-up sheet and even some show-and-tell back there on the table. And when all the lines are filled, we'll know that we have enough for that meal. The extras, if there's no lines left, just bring anything on that list. And there is locked storage if there's extras. And eventually, we'll build up a stockpile in their pantry, we hope. So check the list when you go out. Write your name if you're going to bring one or more of these items. It can be any size can. More is always good, but this will give us the minimum. Next week, we'll pick up whatever else we need for the meal on the 10th, and then there will be a new list for the week of the 17th. So we'll try to keep it going. We'll get us through summer and see how it works. Does that make sense? We'll also put it in an email and in the bulletin, so you'll know what we need, and you can pick it up. We also put Safeway cards on here. It's easier to provide funds for meat, fresh produce, whatever they need, with a Safeway card rather than cash. And my second was for the mission committee. Anybody who has been here a while and wants to give us a hand, since we're fairly new, or anybody that's new that wants to serve the church in an be new with us. We'll all learn along the way. Please sign this list, and we'll be by the door after church if you have any questions. Thank you.
Good morning. This is our congregational prayer for today. Father, how grateful we are for your peaceful and blessed assurance that you will guard us, protect us, and supply our many needs. I'm praying for those people, Father, who came here today, maybe weighed down with anxiety, fear, heartaches, doubts, worries, that right now they will be able to lay these burdens down, along with all their hurts and disappointments, and give them to you. I'm trusting you to fill their lives with your peace and your joy in your own way and in your own time. In the name of your Son, Jesus, let it be so.
Today's reading is Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face, he will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more.
It's time once again for us to sing a hymn, and following the hymn, we will do the doxology. So if you want to stand and stay standing, we will sing, It Is Well With My Soul.
It is well with my soul.
Thank you. Now stay standing as we sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now you may be seated.
Heavenly Father, we lay our gifts at your feet. We lay our gifts before you to support your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Art thou the great Messiah, hast thou Elias seen, or Moses, or the prophet? Come prove it, if you can. Then answered he, thou sayest, thus spoke the Son of Man. Art thou the Christ? They mocked him and spat upon his brow. If thou be Christ, then save thyself. Come down from the cross now. But Jesus prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. And to the thief he said, in paradise, this day thou shalt be with me. Art thou the Christ? They mocked him. Fools that you should doubt. For today, from every housetop, his message thunders out. Tree to flowering sod, all sing in praise, thou art the Christ, the one true living God. All sing in praise, thou art the Christ, the
Wow, thank you, Daryl. I guess my theme song is going to be, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And it's not in my right hand anyway. Well, there's no question that evil exists, and there's so much going on in this world that's rampant. Everybody who would deny that evil doesn't exist is either living under a rock or in a cave. And yet Christians would say that God is all good and all powerful. So why doesn't God do something about it? Could it be that God is really not all powerful after all? As much as we would like to believe he is, but maybe he is not all powerful. the rabbi Harold Kushner, author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People, says, God isn't all powerful after all. That he would like to help, but he isn't capable of solving all the problems in the world. Even God has a hard time with keeping chaos in check. So what's the answer? Is God capable of destroying evil? If so, why doesn't he do it? As I look out in this congregation, I could see lots and lots of instances far worse than any position that I might be in at this case, where people are dealing with evil and disease. Why should I believe in a God who allows children to be molested and murdered and allows bloody warfare in his name? Why are innocent people made to suffer? Why are there famine and drought? And why is it that when there's rain, there isn't rain, and when there's too much rain, there's too much rain? We don't know. Why does God allow terrorists to strap bombs to themselves and take out innocent civilians or hijack airplanes and fly them into buildings? And why does God allow your pastor and millions of others to get Parkinson's and even more horrific diseases? There are many in this room who are suffering now. God, why do you allow this? Why does he allow this? Tough questions, very tough questions. And I don't pretend to understand at all, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, and I've used this many times, it says, now we look through a glass darkly, but then, when we're in heaven, face to face, we will know. Well, let's see if we can look at some of the situations and maybe we'll get a few answers here. First of all, why did God create Satan? Originally, God created Satan as Lucifer, the most beautiful and top-notch angel in heaven. He was the top of the rank, a beautiful angel. And when in Genesis 1:31, God finished his creation, including all the angels, and God said, it was all good, didn't he? Lucifer, however, wasn't content in worshiping God. He had a choice. He was full of pride. He rebelled and led a third of the angels in a warfare against heaven, against God. But he lost, and God cast him out to the earth along with his angels, where he began to do his work. He operated as the devil then. The biblical passages of Job and Isaiah and Matthew and Revelation provide a glimpse of Satan's history and what he has done, so much, very much so in the book of Job. God did not create Lucifer for evil, but allowed the potential for sin. While God cannot commit sin, he didn't take it away from those who did. When Lucifer chose to rebel, he instantly became the author of sin. Evil is a result of free will, a free will choice on the part of Lucifer. Satan and sin, evil and sin, don't foil God's purposes. Evil is in stark contrast to good. God shows mercy to whom he provides salvation. Satan fears God's predestined plan. Well, God's plan is very inclusive. New salvation, a new heaven, a new earth for his people who are made holy, perfect, moral, and loving. His people will become perfect and moral and loving in heaven. That's what God has planned for us. He will prove that he is victorious over all evil and all evil beings who follow his ways, Satan's ways. God rules forever. That's the most important thing. Well, first of all, you have to realize that God is all-powerful and perfectly good. There's a line of atheistic logic. Listen to this logic. An all-powerful God could create evil. An all-powerful God could destroy evil. A good God would destroy evil, wouldn't he? Evil is not destroyed. Therefore, there cannot possibly be a good and powerful God. Well, I think they come up a little bit short. The standard that they're using to measure God against is earthly, not heavenly. Because in the midst of suffering and tragedy, we can forget that God is powerful and wonderful and loving. So why doesn't God destroy evil? Could it be that he's really not a good God? Maybe the atheist is correct. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Many of the verses in the Bible talk about the goodness of God. In fact, the whole Bible is an outline of God's goodness and his dealings with men. After all, why would God bother to tell us how we can please him and how we can attain the eternal life in heaven if he is not good? So the immutable truth is God is good, but could it be that God is not all-powerful? Listen to Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One God? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. The creator of the universe is pretty powerful, naming all the stars and creating every single one. But did you know there are some things that God can't do? There really are some things that God can't do. Somebody is in church and it's back there. I can hear them saying, but you said God is all-powerful. Didn't you say that God is all-loving and all-powerful? How could there be some things that he can't do? Well, there are a few things that he can't do. First of all, God can't lie, because God is truth. James tells us that God cannot be tempted, nor will he tempt people. He will do nothing out of his character. And yet we have evil. Yet we have evil, but why do we have evil? Well, we need to recognize that the source for evil. Well, since God did not create evil, he did not create evil, but he allowed the possibility of evil. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, there's a philosopher in Boston College by the name of Peter Kreeft. He said, it's not logically possible to have a free will and have no possibility of moral evil. It's not possible to have free will and have the possibility of moral evil. In other words, once God chose to create human beings with free will, it was up to them rather than God as to whether there was sin or not. So God created the possibility for evil, he didn't create evil, but we chose it. God told Adam in the garden in Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you will surely die. That's what free will means. Built into the situation of God creating human beings with a chance for evil, with the opportunity to choose evil. God created humans in his own image, capable of having a personal relationship with him. But they have the capability of freely loving him. We are not puppets. We are not puppets in God's creation. God gave us the ability to choose wrong, and we've done it so many times. Cancer, heart disease, divorce, famine, dystrophy, MS, murder, terrorism, strokes, accidents, and Parkinson's. Yes, God is capable of destroying evil, but not without just destroying human freedom. If we had no choice to choose evil, then we would not be who we are. Evil is a lot like rust on metal. It only exists because it's part of the metal that it contaminates. Evil, like rust, is part of something. It's part of our human choice. Evil contaminates our free will so that we choose evil over good. Well, here's the bottom line. The source of evil is not the devil. The source of evil is our own free will. Well, sometimes that old devil kind of eggs us on to do things against the goodness of our hearts. James 1, in the book of James chapter 1, verse 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and then sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So that is a progression, that we make these choices, all these bad choices. How many bad choices have we made? It's really amazing. Back to the main question. But then why doesn't God just, all-powerful God, why doesn't he just destroy evil? Because to do so, he would have to destroy you and me. Evil is part of us because of our fallen nature and our own evil desires. Adam and Eve could just not resist that forbidden fruit, could they? So tempting, so succulent, so seductive. God will ultimately triumph over evil, but he will not destroy it while we inhabit the earth. Well, God sent his son Jesus into the world to defeat evil by the redemption that he did on the cross. This is good. God's remedy for evil is ultimately the death and resurrection of his son Jesus, and that is the end of evil, and that's when it'll be all over. So what to do about this evil that we have throughout our life? How do we cope with the tragedy and suffering? Let's reach out to the one who can do something about it. It's one thing to be able to believe that God is holding back and destroying evil because he does not want to destroy us. I think I can track with that. God wants us to be good. He wants us to shove away evil. But why is there so much evil? We can't let our kids watch the 6 o'clock news. There's no such thing as the 6 o'clock good news program, is there? No, they have to watch the horrible news. But why is there so much evil? But why is there so much evil? Well, here's my answer. I've come down to this answer. I thought about it for a long, long time. It's very technical, and I don't want to lose everybody, so just pay attention. I don't know. How about that? I don't know. I really don't know. Well, why we can't pinpoint reasons why there's so much evil, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There are reasons. Look at Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, for example, our children didn't understand when they were 2 years old or 4 years old why they shouldn't touch the hot stove or why they shouldn't run out in the street. But we told them very strongly why they shouldn't do it, and they believed in faith that they should not do it, and so they survived. So we need to reach out in faith to the one who can do something about it. And how do we do that? There are a couple of ways not to deal with suffering. First of all, suffering is not a cosmic conspiracy against you. Okay, so I found out I have Parkinson's, so... You know, my theme song, a whole lot of shaking going on. Somebody here said, I got it because Betty hit me with a frying pan when I was asleep. That's probably true. I didn't even know what happened. The chances of contracting this disease is 1 in 300. There are 1 million people in the United States with it, so I am 1 in a million. Wow, that's great. Am I a victim of a conspiracy? No, it's just a result of poor planning on the part of the human race. Priorities warped and changed. I mean, look at Fred, has lung cancer. Why does he have lung cancer? Because we have poor priorities in our lives. And society has poor priorities. Society has spent more money on wars than they do on health care. Well, if you go to India, you'll find a group of people, a caste called the Untouchables. They are so wretched because they're stationed in light. Even Mahatma Gandhi didn't want them in their government. But the Christians in India reached out to them. But like Jesus, who loved the Samaritans, the lepers, the sick, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the robbers, and the adulterers, Christians in India reach out to those with leprosy. That's what Jesus would do. The second unhealthy response is to react with cynicism and bitterness towards God, rejecting him and saying, okay, God, you did this for me, therefore you're out of my life. So should you scream and cry out with a clenched fist, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? And let's look at how we can reach out to God, the only one. First of all, we should cry out to him like David did in Psalm 10. Oh God, oh Lord, why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We get the same out of Psalm 13. It says, how long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look at me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes. David cries out to God. Many, many people in the Bible cry out to God. I'm sure you cry out to God. God is not afraid of tough questions or tough questions brought up to him. In the middle of the night after I found out my situation, I cried out to God and said, you did not hear me. You did not hear my prayers. You did nothing. God, I've been talking to you every day for a lifetime. Did you not hear me? You just left me alone. That was my pity party. with God. But God loves to hear me. He loves to hear even those kinds of words because he knows that you're communicating with him. There are many psalms of lament and joy together. They go back and forth in the book of Psalms. Do you think that God heard Moses, the guy with impaired speech? He let him have the impaired speech. Or St. Paul, who had a thorn in his side. Maybe that was Parkinson's. Who knows? You see, God knows what it's like to experience grief and suffering. The loss of relationships once close to him in the person of his own son, who was tortured and murdered in the hands of evil people. David knew that he could question God, and God ultimately knows what's best, because he finishes our Psalm 13 with this. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. He has been wonderfully to me. The key is, regardless of your situation, sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So the first thing we can do is to cry out to God in our frustration. Don't be afraid of crying out to God and saying, why? God will use you for many, many different things. And in my situation, I know God's going to use me in a way that I've never even thought of before. I'm saying that in the tragedy, God is working for our good, working for your good, working for all of us, regardless of infirmity. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to inland China, wrote this and said, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is, what really matters is where the pressure lies. Whether it comes between you and God, or whether it presses you nearer to his heart. That pressure, pressuring him closer to you. Look at the work of Helen Keller, blind and deaf. She did wonders in this world. Look at the work of Ron Hagee, who was here a couple of years ago. He was up on the stage here in a wheelchair, a paraplegic, and his theme was, I'm paralyzed, what's your problem? He had a wonderful message, a great Christian message. And then the fourth response, is sometimes the only response, is to wait for God to use you in a way that is beyond what you could even think. Listen to him. Just don't complain. Listen to God and see what he can do for you. The problem of evil, of course, is indeed a problem. It doesn't have to leave us in defeat and bitterness, though, does it? He sees the bigger picture. He sees the bigger picture like a man in a plane, a little single-engine plane going down the highway, above the highway, and seeing curves in the road, and a man behind us, a 18-wheeler, is trying to pass. He can't see if any cars are coming, but the man in the plane has the bigger picture, and that's what God does. He sees the big picture. I don't have all the answers, and I wish I did. I wish we all did have all the answers, but I know the one who does. He promises that he'll be with me no matter what. He will be with me through everything, and I have the joy of knowing that. The Bible says that God has given us eternal life. It's that simple. Then the Bible says that calling on Jesus brings you salvation. God is going to give you that great home no matter what your situation is, but use your situation to worship him and to glorify God. That's the important thing. This world is filled with evil and tragedy, but God is just so great. He is with us always. And now let's take that and confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. But the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Now as we prepare to take communion, we're going to sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus. So please stand.
Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had broken it, he gave his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when they had finished eating, he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is given for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thank you.
As we prepare to go out this morning, I think we should make this our watch song. God will take care of you. So please stand and let's join together and sing it.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.